Welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show, brought to you by NoOffseason.com, where you can get unlimited personalized advice to build your sports card investment portfolio. Get a free 30-day trial now at NoOffseason.com. You won't be sorry. Our show today is brought to you by Graybo's Sports Cards. They're a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One-Time Dodson, and is located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sports the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Listeners of Sports Card Strategy can receive a 10% discount on any purchase at graybos.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. Graybo's also now breaks on Whatnot and or Drip 5 nights a week, including baseball, basketball, football, and even wrestling breaks. Use the link in their IG bio at Graybo's_cards to get a $15 credit after your first purchase on Drip. Follow all of Graybo's news and updates on Instagram at Graybo's_cards. Don't forget that all of the data we use on the Sports Card Strategy Show comes from MarketMoversApp.com. Get 20% off MarketMoversApp.com today by using the promo code NOOFFSEASON. That's after a 14-day free trial. Use the promo code NOOFFSEASON at MarketMoversApp.com today. All right, it's time for some sports card strategy. Here are your hosts, Paul Hickey, Kendall the Lefty McKee, and the Dr. Crack, Chad Gill.
Good morning, everyone. Connor Barnett here, head of content at NOOFFSEASON.com. Welcome to the Sports Card Strategy Show, a piece of the NoOffseason.com network. No Paul this morning, but I'm here with Lefty and Chad. How we doing, fellas? Good morning.
We're good, fellas.
Let's get into some live chat love before we get rolling today. Looks like we got a lot of people in the comments. We'd love to see it. Stick around. We got a bunch of good stuff coming your way today. Good morning, David. Good morning, Mark D. Good morning, Janelle Hsu. Craig's Card 11 in the house. We got Adrian Charlie. Good morning, Adrian. Cleo Cards out of Cleveland, Ohio. David Killett, Southern Soccer Idiot. We got Joey Kaplan, Evan Bell. Good morning, Evan Bell. Randy Ferguson, the Mickey Shuffle. That's a new name for me. You guys might recognize that one. Nope. Oh, My Shoes. Good morning, Shoes. Hangover Sports Cards. Good morning, Hangover Sports Cards. And last but definitely not least, Barry Siff. Good morning, Barry. Hope everyone is doing well this morning. How was everyone's weekend, Lefty? You went camping, didn't you?
I did. I spent the weekend in the gorge. Pretty exciting. The Red River Gorge is pretty close to where we live. A lot of cool hiking trails. Spent some good time with my buddies out there. Kind of a last little hoorah before baby's coming, dude.
Oh yeah, exciting times, exciting times. What about you, Chad? How was your weekend, my friend?
I had a great weekend. Spent it most of my weekend with pigeons, so they don't talk back, so that was good time.
Good stuff, good stuff. Well, let's go ahead and hop right into it, boys. Let's go ahead and kick off our L's of the week. So, listeners, we're going to do it snake draft style as Chad's light goes out for the first time. My L of the week actually comes from last week, unfortunately. Where I turned into a robotic version of myself during Monday's show. My headset gave out, and next thing I know, once I'm back, a setting had turned on, and I sound like a mix of Darth Vader and some kind of robot from Rick and Morty. So that was definitely my L of the week. Sorry to the listeners there. Hopefully today is a little bit better fine-tuned for you guys. Lefty, what was your L of the week, my friend?
My L of the week is I missed that. Like, that's a bummer. My L of the week just has to be around the idea that that baseball's over. Has to be. Because although the Rangers did win the World Series, which is obviously my win of the week, it's a sad day that we get to go into winter meetings and not have anything for us. So, bummer for that. My L of the week also, I hate the way that these courts look for the in-season cup thing. Connor, they look horrible. Not a fan of that. Yeah,
they're putrid. It's almost like they tried to do color rush version of NFL jerseys on an NBA court. I'm not a fan of them, so maybe we get some better ones as it kind of progresses, because it's going to be around for a while. So Chad, what you got for your L of the week, brother?
Well, my L of the week is there's no Paul here to debate with today over the timing of buying basketball or selling basketball cards. I did a podcast this last week with Gary from Hoops and Cards, and Paul said, "Hey, great job. However, you're wrong about the time of selling." And he's like, "I'd love a chance to just sit and debate with you over this because I'm killing it." And so we had a good laugh about that. No, I had a very good week. I really didn't have any L's for cards. However, the NBA play-in tournament, I messaged you guys. I guess, I don't know if it's an L, but I'm a little disappointed because I didn't understand how it was going to work. I didn't realize that it was going to be one or two nights per week, and then they still kept the regular season going. That's very, very confusing. And I'm pretty good with that stuff, and I'm confused as all heck. I'm watching games, and I'm watching the Suns lose, and I'm like, oh, they lost in their bracket. Wait a minute. No, they're not in their bracket. What the heck is going on? So then I had to Google the tournament rules and stuff, and then I'm realizing it's like Tuesday and Friday nights or something. I think they'd have been much better off if they did a bubble-type scenario where they'd have just gotten all of the games and done it. And I get that they're trying to stretch it out for a month, but we were trying to figure out why it was going to take a month to go through, you know, a half a dozen games. Well, now we know they're doing like one or two nights a week. To me, that's an L.
Yeah, I got to agree with you, Chad. It's definitely like anticlimactic for what we were expecting, right? We kind of were expecting a big hype push from the marketing team over from the NBA and kind of a more concise look at things that was simplified. But I'm confused as well as you, and it looks like we got a bunch of people confused in the comments. So I'm going to go ahead and make a statement. I will put out a piece of content that breaks down the midseason tournament somewhere and kind of associates it with how you guys can make profits for sports cards, because I know we've talked a lot about this being a good sell marker. So I'll make a point this week to get a piece out where we kind of break that down so you guys have a better idea when to sell those NBA cards that you might have been holding, waiting for performances during the in-season tournament there. Chad, what you got for your W, my friend?
All right. Well, W, so many of you, if you've been along for the ride for several months now, saw that back in early summer I wrote an article on how to make money on buying Jalen Hurts cards. The article was about the Concourse Silver Jalen Hurts cards. At the time, I think the article had them at like 18 or 20 bucks a piece raw, but I was able to start buying before then. And then so I ended up buying 20 cards. They ranged anywhere from $9 to $22. The average cost of all 20 cards, including shipping and taxes, was $16.57 each. Sent them into PSA in the bulk submission like I recommended at $19 each, which was another $380. And it was about $30 for shipping both ways to PSA and to back to get them back. So when you do all the math, I had $38.57 each invested in all 20 cards. I got 14 PSA 10s and 6 PSA 9s. I just sold the very last one from the submission, and I am happy to say that from the 20-card play, my net profit was $840. So I hope you guys are following some of these plays. There is some really good money to be made on these bulk plays.
Yeah, I love it. That's a huge win, Chad. Some serious profits for Dr. Crack himself. Make sure you're paying attention to all these articles he's dropping on the website, guys. He's got his own corner, Dr. Crack's Corner, on the website. He's given us great content every week, so make sure to go check out those articles. Lefty, over to you. What was your W of the week, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be the Rangers winning the World Series. Has to be. My team finally, for the first time ever, wins the World Series, and I was able to make some decent profit off of it because my PC is pretty extensive. So I know that we don't have to or we don't like to sell PC cards, but I'm in it for if I have duplicates and people want them and they can way over pay what I paid for them, then they can have them. So I went on a Adolis Garcia selling spree, and so I made really big wins because what I thought to do was put them on 3-day auctions instead of 7-day auctions, and I posted them, most of them right as the series was about to start. So the first two games, which when Adolis went nuclear in the first two games, and I sold I got like, I think 3 or 4x everything that I had, which was really fun, except for I sold, this goes back to my L of the week, but I didn't want to just, I wanted to talk about these together. So I sold an Adolis Garcia auto that I thought would have gone for about $100. And I put that one on a 7-day auction because it was probably the most lucrative. So I put one on the 7 and one and everything else on a 3. Well, as you guys know, he got injured halfway through the series, and that auto ended up going for $51 when I bought it for 40 like 2 years ago. So, you know, not really great. That's my L of the week that, you know, he ended up getting hurt, and injuries do sometimes play a significant measure into what we're doing here at the Sports Card Strategy Show. I mean, at nooffseason.com, we have all these lists and we have all these rankings and what we think we should do, but there still is an element of significant risk involved with the idea that, there is injuries that happen. And, there are some things here that, is out of our control. We play the best we can, and we get the most wins and the best margins because, you know, eventually something like this is going to happen, and you're going to have an injury not really unexpectedly play into what your strategy is.
Yeah, the injury for him was tough there. It was good to see that they were still able to pull out the win. I know we're happy for you, Lefty, and I'm glad you were still able to make some good profits overall with the plays there. My W of the week is actually the two of you. So we've been putting together some exciting plans for content coming up. So for those of you that don't know, this Wednesday will feature our first Sports Card Strategy Deep Dive, another show on the nooffseason.com network. This Wednesday, I will be with Lefty. The show is going to be a natural extension where we kind of break down the guidelines that we're using to make our strategies and ultimately put our plays into action there. Chad will also be doing shows on Wednesdays. He's going to be every other Wednesday. So his first show will air not this Wednesday, but the next. And Lefty's going to be every Wednesday. So I'm really excited to get together with you two and kind of get deeper into y'all's knowledge, increase my knowledge, and hopefully provide a ton of value for the listeners there. So I'm very excited. And without further ado, let's go ahead and hop in to our audience, L's and W's of the week. Oh, my shoes, W of the week. Denver Nuggets won both of their games over the weekend. Yeah, shoes, they look really good. They're my pick right now. They're just too big. They're just too big for a lot of teams to contend with them, I think, and too versatile. Also, oh, my shoes, excuse me, David Killett, W of the week, bought into a break for $40. Already sold 5 of those cards for a profit after eBay fees and initial investment, $162. Still has lots of cards left to sell. Good job, David. Card Snatcher, L of the week. Paying for 3 PSA submissions that popped ready to ship all in one day, but also yeah, a W for Card Snatcher.
Been there.
Oh, yeah. 3 PSA submissions on the way to them, though, so they're happy there. And it looks like that's all I've got for our audience, L's and W's. With that, we can go ahead and transition into who we are buying this week. Chad, I'm going to let you kick it off here, but then we'll go to Lefty and then myself and reverse it.
Hey, actually, Chad, can you explain to the audience why that's an L of the week for Card Snatcher, just for those that aren't doing PSA submissions all the time?
Well, it's an L because of the amount of money that comes off your credit card at one time. So I, too, last week had 3 submissions hit all at one time, and it was $1,840 on my credit card all at once, bam. There it is. And then you feel a little bit of pressure to like try and move the cards, especially if that puts a strain on your card or your lifestyle. And then sometimes you end up selling the cards a little cheaper than you would because you're like, God, I got to get these out quick. I got to pay for this credit card or this debit card or whatever they're on. That certainly can hurt. Been there, done that.
Yeah, so unless it wasn't clear for everybody, like when you submit to PSA, you don't pay at the front, you pay at the back when the grades pop, and when they ship it back to you, they charge the card. So that has bit me in the butt several times, as well as I'm sure there's been other people here. that's been bit by that, because you pay $400 or so when you ship it, and then you think you're going to have that money, and then they take 900 months to do that. And of course, you know, your budget's never the same in 900 months. So that can be an L of the week. So I totally have been there, and I also had two pop this last week. So maybe they just had just millions of submissions ready to go, and they just had one dude just slaying the shipping labels in their warehouse, you know, last week. So
yeah, thanks for the breakdown there, boys. I'm actually going to hit on a couple more L's and W's that came in late.
I just saw great value, Paul.
We got Greeny Green. W of the week was CJ Stroud going crazy.
Yeah.
Also had Barry Siff. They did their first card show yesterday and netted $175 profit. Congratulations, awesome. Barry. Mark D, W of the week, 7 out of 10. Roman Anthony's came back as 10s. Chad, how close are you to stocking up on your 20 for our top 10 there?
I'm close. I've got 20 of the first 6, so I'm working on the last 4 right now. However, I get a little greedy with the first 3. I keep buying more and more, even though I've got my 20 card play. I can't let good deals on Churio Wood and Holiday go past. So I think Churio, I'm up to 51. I have 51 PSA 10 Churio Bowman Chrome first base cards, along with some parallels and sapphires and autographs and all that kind of stuff. But they're so damn cheap. I can't help myself. I have 51 of them. What am I going to do with 51 of them? I have no idea, but I just bought 2 more again this weekend. If they're at 40 bucks, I'm 40, 45 bucks. I'm sorry. There's no way I'm losing money at 40 or 45. I am just smacking it. I'm buying it. I'm getting it over with, and I'm up to 51 of them. So I sure hope Churio doesn't get hurt and not ever miss MLB. That's the only way I lose money.
Yeah, it looks like you're making – go ahead, Lefty.
That would be so bad for the Brewers to put all so much stock into this kid, and then he just never makes it. I mean, then you'd have to really be going into your Tyler Black play right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Chad, it looks like you're making a big investment there in terms of how much not only money but time you're putting into all these breakdowns. And you're also putting time into going very in depth for the breakdowns that you're putting on the website. For those of you that want to copy Dr. Crack's plays, he's got full breakdowns in Dr. Crack's Corner on the website there. So be sure to check those out, like I mentioned before. We got another W of the week, Brian Steeler 714. W of the week, they think. Traded one of their PSA 8 Jordan rookie stickers for an SGC 7 Tops Wayne Gretzky rookie card. Other sticker 8 is way being sent Paul Pictures. Dr. Crack, I'm curious how you feel about this play. I know a couple weeks ago we had talked about Wayne Gretzky being a surefire investment with him kind of chasing down that all-time goals record. But what do you think about this swap for Brian Steeler?
I love it. We've talked about in previous episodes, I make a lot of money on that Jordan sticker card because it is so volatile. It will bounce $400 one way or another, up and down throughout the course of the year. It's 12, 15, 20 sales a year. If you go and look at market movers, the graph is just up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. I bought and resold that card last year 3 times and made $1,000 on it in three different sales. So to solidify it and get a Gretzky SGC 7, awesome play. Great job.
Yeah, I think that card, for some reason, that Gretzky card has a hold on me. You know, I don't have any hockey cards, but every time I see that Gretzky, I'm like, man, I've got to get one of those. And I'm currently building up enough bankroll to buy an Ovechkin because I know that that's going to pop for us. But, you know, that especially the Opeachy version of that Gretzky card is just so cool looking. And so I love it. I think it's a great investment. The sticker, Michael Jordan, get out of here. you know, that card is volatile. Opeachy or even the tops, Gretzky will never go out of style. That is a great choice.
Yeah, sorry guys, I misspoke earlier when I said chasing that goal record. It's actually Ovechkin, obviously.
I got you, boy.
But Chad, if you're ready, you can go ahead and hop into who you are buying for the week.
All right, get a Snickers, everybody. This segment could take a little bit. I bought a lot of cards this week. This goes against everything. If Paul was here right now, he would just be, you'd see all kinds of weird faces as he would just be like souring on everything that I'm doing here because he keeps telling me I'm wrong, but we'll see. I bought this week, and I'm not going to go over all of them. I'm just going to touch on my basketball buys because I know it irritates Paul. Benedict Mathurin Prism Rookie Signatures, PSA 10. It's down 70% in the last 30 days. I paid $59 for it. Denny Avdija Prism Silver PSA 10. I have no idea how to pronounce his name. It's down the last 30 days. It's down 65%. I bought it for $31. Franz Wagner.
Hey, you got that one.
Optic Hollow. Well, I'm German, so I can get that one. I don't get those European names. Optic Hollow PSA 10 down 60% in the last 30 days.
Germany is in Europe.
Paid $38. Well, you know, that's a good live take that, you know, Dr. Crack knows cards but doesn't know English or know how to pronounce names. Paolo Banchero Prism Fast Break PSA 10 down 60% in the last 30 days. I paid $134. Paolo Banchero Select Blue Cracked Ice. This card is amazing looking. It's a color match, which I'm a sucker for. PSA 10 down 63% in the last 30 days. I paid $37. Keegan Murray Prism Ice PSA 10 down 59% in the last 30 days. I paid $41. Ja Morant Luminance, the dunk card. PSA 10 down 51% in the last 30 days. I only paid $34 for that card. That blows my mind. And Anfernee Simons Prism Blue numbered to 199 down 50% in the last 30 days. I paid $148. Those are some absolute steals, in my opinion, on basketball cards. I will be surprised if I do not double my money by the All-Star break.
Chad, what are you looking for in a lot of those flyers in terms of sell markers? Are we purchasing because they're at such a discount from poor play early in the season or underperforming?
No, I'm purchasing because unlike where Paul wants to debate me, he says to sell on the hype marker at the beginning of the NBA season, because the whether they play good or not, it's the beginning of the NBA season. There's a hype and the cards go up, and that is true for some, but for the majority of the players in the NBA, their cards dip from now until mid December. And Paul on the Overflow show tried to correct me and say, if you look at the data doesn't lie, here, I'll show you a card. And he was picked out a card that he was right. He is right with the sense that for the last 3 years and the pandemic, he is 100% correct. You sell at the beginning of the NBA season. However, I'm pulling rank on Paul on this one. I've been doing this much longer than Paul, and this year feels a lot more like pre-pandemic card market. There's number two. It feels like we're getting back into pre-pandemic type ebbs and flows in the market. And if you look back to pre-pandemic, NBA cards typically will start to fall. They kind of hold steady at the beginning of the season, and then they start to free fall. Other than a handful, you know, 10, 12 players that are really popping off, the majority of them will fall all the way until mid-December. And then when mid-December happens, typically what you'll see is people will start to think, okay, now they start thinking basketball. Basketball is not on their minds this time of year. That just isn't, which is why the NBA is trying to do this in-season tournament, because they know that historically speaking, basketball is not on people's minds until Christmas Day when you have the big Christmas Day games, and that kind of generates, you know, everybody sitting around opening gifts watching NBA. That is generally about the time that you see NBA cards really start to climb back up. And I'm talking 2019 and earlier, which unfortunately for market movers, there's no graphs there for me to argue with Paul when he said the data doesn't lie. Unfortunately, Paul, if you're listening, the data doesn't lie. However, there's no data because the data is only 3 years old. You gotta trust me on this one. I've been doing this a long, long time. This is what happens. Jeff Wilson alluded to it on one of his shows as well. He's in the same camp as I am. NBA cards start to slide mid-December. Great NBA pickups, early NBA season, great NBA pickups. And then from the All-Star break to the end of the season, the players that are doing well, their cards will slowly start to climb. So my play is that I hope to unload these cards somewhere around the All-Star break at the beginning of January into early February. And again, my gut feeling, and I'll let everybody know how I did, is that I will double my money on these plays.
Yeah, Chad, I think that is a strategy that I also feel good about. So I'm going against Paul here too. Last year I actually did this, and the strategy that you're talking about, I was like, man, I really feel like now is a good time to buy in on a couple of these players that I really think will make really good playoff runs. And I was thinking more playoff rather than, you know, January, February, but I still made good money on a like Tyrese Maxey. I bought him in like November, December area where people were forgetting about him. And then I sold him for almost double what his rookie ticket PSAs were going for, I actually sold game six of the Boston Philly series, which it was like the perfect time to sell, honestly. But I still think this is a good play. And I think it also goes back to the fact that there is a million ways to skin a cat. And, you know, you texted us that this week in our chat. And I think sometimes we get too locked in onto what our strategy is, and knowing that there is a million ways to do this. And if you're smart and you've got data behind it and you've got a conviction play, most of the time it's going to work out. I don't know how to explain that. If you've got a conviction play that's rooted in good numbers, rooted in good names, rooted in good timing, then it's probably going to work. And we're talking a lot this week about sports card school and what our definers are in what we do to make strategies or plays together. What's the word that we've been using, Connor?
Guidelines.
Yeah. What are the guidelines that we use? And I think if you see a guideline of like, okay, this is a good name, this is a good card, it's some of the guidelines will release in coming weeks. But if it's like, if it's a good name, if it's a good card, if it's a good time, if it's a good price, then the strategy could be different than what we are doing if you've got the guidelines down. And so I think that's going to be something that's really cool to unpack in a few weeks with each other, and how our strategies are in fact a little bit different and how we're all making good wins. I mean, Lefty, Chad, and Paul all do completely different things, and we're all winning out here. So you know, we all have to do it in different ways. Chad's got a million cards that he's trying to put on eBay for Jackson Churio, and I've got four autos of him, you know? And so it's like, it's totally different plays, but we're just trying to make it happen, boys.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't know if we have a taped recording of Paul this time around or not, but to Paul's defense here, so just so we don't think we're beating up on Paul, Paul made a really good point in that text, group text that we had going on, that he's absolutely killing it right now by doing his strategy, by buying in the off season and selling at the beginning of the NBA season. He's making an absolute killing. He says he hasn't had a loss in like months. So Paul and I are kind of ribbing each other a little bit verbally, which is fun, but doesn't matter which strategy you go with. putting a W in the column is what's most important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. And I think you make a good point there, Lefty. And I think that's where a lot of the value comes from, right? The fact that all three of you guys can have different strategies for similar sports that still pan out as W's for each of you. So that way, if you're a listener, depending on what your budget is and how much risk you want to take off, there's going to be a play here for you guys. So I think that's a good point. Lefty, before we get to who you're buying right now, I wanted to touch on Barry Siff's question real quick for Chad, just while we're here. Chad, he wants to know what you're using to determine where the best buys are. And I was also curious too, if you're kind of sniping eBay auctions and seeing where the value is there, are you looking strictly off Market Movers to find these plays?
Well, that's a great question. It's a combination of both. In the eBay school upcoming, there'll be a lesson on how I unstrategetically, is that a word? I'm trying to pull out a word for the Lefty here. Anyways, it's not your stereotypical way that that I find cards. I will pick a random topic on eBay and I'll throw it in there, and then I sort by auctions ending, and then I'll just scroll through for 20 or 30 minutes, and I'll be like, oh, that looks like it's a deal. I'll put it on my watch list. I'll come back to it, and then I'll check for centering and then how, you know, that kind of stuff, if the guy's a good seller or whatever, and then I'll snipe the auction. So that's how I find a lot of them. It's just random. However, where I got some of the data for today's buys was Market Movers. If you go to Market Movers and you go to the market data, you can sort by risers and fallers in the market. But I don't recommend that you use that to buy cards. You don't want to buy all the cards that are down 50 or 70%, because some of those cards are declining because they're not going to come back up. So there has to be a strategy behind it. If you look at the players that I mentioned, all of those players are bound to have a good year. Barring injury or some unforeseen thing, those players are all, in my opinion, going to have a breakout type year, and then that catapults their cards. So I didn't just go to a list and look for the cards that were declined the most, because that's a bad strategy.
Yeah, that's good. That's good advice. I also use Market Movers, pretty exclusively. Barry, it's the only tool that I pay for, and then at the same time, it's but I also don't buy off of Market Movers. I use Market Movers for the data, and then do little eBay craftiness like Chad's talking about.
Yeah, so the movements tab is the tab on Market Movers that I was trying to, I couldn't think of the word, but the movements tab. Mm-hmm. And you can sort by, sport, you can sort by player, you can sort by, a generality for grade. You can do just, all the PSA 9s or 10s or SGC 9s or 10s or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, good breakdown, boys. Lefty, let's go ahead and hop into who you're buying this week.
Yeah, so I made a couple of big buys this week. Not a lot of cards, but just a few. But the first ones I have, I don't know if we have space on this graphic for this, but I'm going to share my screen again. Eventually, we'll figure this out, Connor, to what it needs to look like. But here we go. Oh, nice. Fits right in here. So this is Samuel Basalo's last 180 days. This guy came out in the 2023 Bowman Chrome set that came out, around, I think first week of August or something like that. Is that right, Chad? It was the first week of September.
No, it came out in August. You're right.
Yeah. And so these came out flying. Basalo's a guy that we love, and $248 raw here, and it's down to 57% in that time, and it's $87 raw. This is totally entering what we would now consider a buy window for him, especially as we go into the 23 draft season, and these Bowman Chrome cards will take more of a hit. Basalo and Ethan Salas are both coming down, but I ended up buying two Samuel Basalo autos this week at great prices. And then I also bought an Xavier Isaac refractor auto as well, with just, you know, not very long ago, this was going for $200 and I paid $100. So I paid $300 for all three of these cards, which, you know, the data here for Basalo is probably a little bit inflated. These are still going for around $100. None of them are really touching that 87 mark. So paying $300 for all three of them shipped, I felt really comfortable about. Plus, I'll be able to make a lot of big wins on these. And the guy said that they were near mint, if not perfect. So I'm going to go ahead and grade those three cards. Bought into those two today. And then I also bought into Bronny James McDonald's All-American cards this week. I have bought about six or seven different parallels of Bronny James's cards, McDonald's All-American card. We've got the one where he's just posing in a in the regular, probably picture locker room type photo. And then we've got the ones of him shooting. I've got the refractors for both of them. And then I actually ended up getting an out of 150 for this card as well. I'm going to grade all of these. That's my play, is I'm going to grade them and try to be some of the first to the market with some PSA grades on Bronny James. Not planning to hold these cards very long, simply because I'm not sure what's going on at USC for him. They say he is fit to play, but at the same time, like, I'm sure there's a long road to the NBA if he ever gets there at this point. And I'm a little concerned about that heart condition still. So my play here is to grade them and then get them back out before any sort of USC or college jersey or whatever or auto gums out, and get them out of my hands. But I wanted to make a play on Bronny James, considering this is one of, if not the GOAT's son, and he's going to, could have been another amazing story had he been healthy. So,
yeah, I think that's a great play there. I think Paul's picking up some of those as well. And you were able to find some good deals on what you found too. So I was excited for you there. It's been fun keeping up with Bronny James' journey. And who knows, maybe he does pan out, but I'm kind of thinking what you're thinking there. So I think it's a good play to kind of go with first to market strategy rather than waiting for like a performance-based marker to really spike values there. My buys are, I got one buy real similar to Chad's here. I think Paolo Banchero is a great buy right now. He's got a ton of popular cards that are down over the last 30 days. Which I think are a reflection of both lack of relevancy in Orlando and poor performance from Paolo. In his first four games this season, he didn't have a single game above 15 points, even snuck in a 9-point game, which obviously was pretty uncharacteristic for Paolo coming off Rookie of the Year season. He's got a bunch of cards that are down right now. Chad mentioned a couple. His Optic Holo rated rookie signatures down 57%. Prism Fast Breaks down 55%. Crown Royale Kaboom down 44%. Those are all PSA 10s. Yeah, he's struggled, but he seems to be turning the book a little bit. His last two games, he's got the 30-point game and another strong performance. So I think he's going to be an all-star this year. So I think if you can buy him discounted now and can wait around for those all-star selections, I think you'll see a healthy jump there. I also like Jordan Travis. He's pretty affordable to get into right now. So his 2022 Bowman Chrome First Prospect Auto in Raw, you can pick it up for less than $70 right now. And there are a good amount of listings on eBay. I looked at them this morning, both auction and buy it nows. That price is relatively cheap looking at comparative QBs from his class. And he's currently fifth in the Heisman race. They are undefeated at 9-0 and sitting at fourth in the country. So as of right now, FSU is slotted for a playoff berth, which I think would help his cards jump. And the rest of their schedule is pretty easy for the season. They've got Miami, Florida, North Alabama, and I think their toughest opponents will be Florida. But really, realistically, they should finish off the season 12-0, and I think that would get them into the playoff, which would be a good sell marker for you guys. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just want to jump in real quickly and tell everybody my reason why Paolo Banchero cards are down. It is not because of poor performance, at least I don't think. All you have to do is look back to the world, the FIBA championships in August. He was an absolute beast in that tournament. His cards jump and rose. If you'd have wanted a selling marker, his cards jumped hard during the FIBA World Championships. So the reason his cards are down is because they spiked so high because of his play in the FIBA World Championships. That's why. If you go back and look at his cards prior to, so if you go 180 days back, his cards are pretty much up. On most cards, his cards are either flat or up just a hair, or down a hair, you know, 5-10% one way or another. But you don't see these 50% drops. You're seeing the 50% drop because they got so high during the FIBA World Championships. So that makes Paolo a great buy right now, because when he starts putting together those 25 and 30 point games like he's capable of, those cards are going to go back to the same levels that they were at during the FIBA.
Yeah, good point, Chad. Good point there. And I think it is important to keep in mind his international presence might just have another layer of helping his cards like hold volatility. So good point there, Chad. I didn't even consider that when I was looking at it. But let's go ahead and hop into who we are selling right now, if you guys don't have anything else there.
Yeah, I do have one more buy that I forgot to touch on, actually.
Yeah, go ahead, Lefty.
So as we've been talking about, one of the guys that's in our baseball cards rankings at nooffseason.com is Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And he's the guy that's having a better season than Roki Sasaki over in the MPB in the Japan League. And this guy is probably one of the best pitchers on the earth. Like, both him and Roki are incredible pitchers. And then for him to have a better season than Roki at a younger age is just outstanding. And his team decided last week that, or they've officially said that he will be posted this offseason, which means that he will be coming to Major League Baseball this year and probably will fight for some of the biggest money in the sport. With him and Shohei both being on the free agency market, I think that we could see a huge bump in both of their cards because of the marketing for both of these Japanese stars just being out there together. They're close friends. Yamamoto actually sees Shohei as one of his idols. So, I mean, if somebody wanted to, they could potentially have both of them on the same team. I think these cards go on a crazy run. And so the ones that I'm recommending are the 2021 Topps Chrome MPB number 90. It's his RX Buffalo Team Samurai card. It is this one right here. This is a paper version, but this is the one I have that's about to be sent off for grading. I am trying to snipe some Chrome versions of this as well. I believe that this is a sneaky play for us that goes differently than our typical baseball plays. And we are going into MPB cards rather than Bowman, because when he finally sells, when he gets out there and probably signs with some big market team, he's going to be looked at as the savior for that franchise. And I could see him going to a city like Boston, who was just horrific last season and needs a juice in the arm. And so if that happens, if something like that happens, or San Francisco or something like that, where he is the guy to push them over to the next level, the marketing is going to be unreal. So definitely want to get those cards in our hands first, so that we can make plays on them and be first to the market there as well.
Yeah, good breakdown. That the statistic that you sent us over the weekend was preposterous with the pitches thrown in that game. 138 pitches in his last start before becoming an MLB free agent. So I think I'm just as excited as you are, Lefty, there to see what he does in the league and the impact that he'll have. So good stuff there. Hopping into who we're selling. Chad, who are you selling this week?
Well, kind of continuing with the baseball theme, but I just wanted – this is – wanted this I got from Market Movers. This is data. I did not have these cards, just full disclosure. But these are some pretty eye popping numbers. So if you have these cards, get rid of them. These are opportunities. So to Lefty's point, Adolis Garcia tops number 227 PSA 10 in the last 30 days was up 715%. from $15 you could have bought that card 30 days ago, sold for $123. His Topps Chrome Rookie Auto Refractor, number to $499. Now, these aren't Bowman, but this is where you can make money on cards that aren't Bowman. PSA 10 last 30 days up 383% from $158 to $760. His 2016 Topps batting Corey Seager PSA 10 last 30 days up 338% from $24 to $105. Little football here. Tyler Badgett. Justin Fields is coming back, guys, so get rid of your Badgett cards. His 2023 score PSA 10 last 30 days up 204% from $33 to $100. Who would spend $100 on a PSA 10 score, Tyler Badgett? That blows my mind. That's why those people need this show. Don't spend $100 on Tyler Badgett. AJ Brown select field level silver PSA 10 last 30 up 174% from $51 to $140. Now AJ Brown is a player that if you believe that Philly's going to go to the Super Bowl again, there might still be room for that card to go up, but if I'm up 174%, I'm selling. I don't care how much higher it can go. And then for our hockey listeners, we usually don't talk much hockey, but 2018 Upper Deck Young Guns, Troy Terry, PSA 10, last 30 is up 154% from $22 to $57. So a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of baseball. Those are the cards that we want to get sold right now if we have them.
Good stuff there, Chad. I'm gonna kind of bounce a question off you as a part of your sales right now. Johnny Davis, Infinity Trader wants to know if Johnny Davis is still a sleeper play and if Cam Thomas is an immediate sell at the moment. And I'm going to touch on Cam Thomas a little bit as well, but curious what you felt about Johnny Davis and Cam Thomas.
Yes and no. So Johnny Davis is still a sleeper play as he has not done anything at all so far in the first week of the season to make anybody think that my prediction is going to be right. So it is an extremely risky play. Buy at risk is what I'm going to say with Johnny Davis. If I'm right, and the last month of the season was an indicator of what is yet to come for this season, Johnny Davis is a very good sleeper pick. If the first week of the season is an indicator, Johnny Davis cards are going to continue to free fall out of relevancy. So very, very risky play, but yes, Johnny Davis could still be a sleeper pick. I am hoping that he starts to play like he did the last month of the season. As far as Cam Thomas goes, that's a yes and a yes. As I just mentioned, when you're up 100%+ on a card, it is the time to sell because take your profits, get into something else. However, Cam Thomas is that rare, weird situation, kind of like Shohei was last year. You could also look at Cam Thomas as a buy right now. His prices have not reached or have not even come close to reaching the levels of which they did last year when he put up those 3 40-point games. Those spike numbers tell you what his cards are capable of reaching. They haven't reached that level yet. Yes, he is playing well, but he's also put up a couple of pedestrian 17-point nights. They haven't all been 30-point nights. So I think that the sky is the limit for Cam Thomas. If he can do this for an entire year and the Nets can be playoff relevant by May or June, you could see his cards up another 25, 50, 100% from where they are right now. But if you bought in like Paul did early in the midsummer and you can make 100%, don't hang on and try and get cute and hope for another 25 or 50%. Sell now, reinvest into something else. So that's a yes. So it's a yes and a yes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. Cam Thomas is an absolute bucket, but at the same time, he's only a bucket. Like this guy, I mean, I don't know, Connor, if you'd agree with this, but his defense is not good. I mean, this guy is a scorer. He is going to score the basketball. There is going to be nights where he scores 50. I know that's in his future. There, it could be more than that. You know, like, especially if they finally give him more runtime with Dinwiddie not playing well and stuff like that. But this guy is an absolute bucket getter, and he's going to put up flashy numbers in the box score.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and actually touch on my spot of Cam Thomas that I carved out for the show, but I think he's a sell now either way. Chad, I think one of the reasons his prices haven't catapulted from these 30 point performances like they did prior is because people are realizing that that's maybe his ceiling, right? Like, okay, he could score more than that, but like, that's what he is, right? He's a volatile scorer that can come in and give you points. He's probably not going to help you guys win a lot of games. If you look at advanced metrics, I'm sure they would reflect on that. I don't believe in the Nets' future necessarily in the short term. So I think with the growth that we've seen from Cam Thomas, I think you got to sell him now. I don't think that his upside in the league is overly high, and I don't think he has the chance to become a top tier star in the league.
Absolutely. Where do we go from here?
Go ahead, Lucky.
So I'll pop into my sells of the week. All of mine are related to quarterbacks. I think that there are three quarterbacks that I have seen, and then that the market movers itself is putting a lot of green on the table. And what I mean by that is when the percentages are higher than they were 14 days ago, you're going to see green on this movements tab that I'm about to show you. So as I present here, share my screen again, we are going to look at the market movers. Oh, crap. Hold on. Okay, we're going to look at the market movers tab. First off, I want to give absolute props to Josh Dobbs. He has been dealt a horrific hand over the past couple of years, and the guy is continually, people talk about him being the smartest quarterback in the NFL. Like, he is potentially not the most athletic, not the most star darling guy. This guy is not going to just blow you away with his athleticism, but he's a winner, and he's smart between the ears. And I think Josh Dobbs coming out of Tennessee is a guy that is going to do some crazy stuff for this Vikings team. I mean, we literally saw him put together a win yesterday with one practice with the Minnesota Vikings. Like, that is just unreal that he was able to come in and also see that the situation for the Vikings, it was good enough for one practice to beat the Falcons. I don't know if that says more about the Vikings or more about the Falcons. I'm not sure what's going on here, but it's a great game for Josh Dobbs. But I do think he's a sell right now, just because he's not a guy that I think somebody's going to invest 5-10 years in. He's a guy that's going to continue to bounce around the league, similar to probably Fitzmagic and something like that in the future, where he's going to be an extremely smart quarterback that's probably not top echelon, and they're going to move him around into different situations that need an oh crap quarterback. And I think he's going to be that oh crap quarterback going forward. So go ahead and sell Josh Dobbs if you have any of these silver prisms or his rated rookie autos or anything like that. Next, I'm going to move on to Joe Burrow. A ton of green. I'm not saying we sell right now, but I'm saying we have prepared you guys over the past month or so to be buying Joe, because Joe Scheisty was going to have his days, and he had a day yesterday. They went out and beat the Buffalo Bills. He looked like old school Joe Burrow. I mean, the man didn't even throw that much to Ja'Marr Chase, and he put up levels on the Bills. Like, this was such a good football game to watch, because Joe Burrow was back to Joe Burrow. Like, we've been talking about buy him because he is that guy and he's just injured. Well, he's not injured anymore, and he's tearing it up, and you're seeing a lot of green. Look at this. I mean, I know it's only an $11 card, but this card was $1 a couple weeks ago, and now it's up 955%. I mean, that's ridiculous. And then, these are also his common cards. But what I'm saying here is, if there's green in the common cards, there's green in the autos as well. So if you've got autos and PSA 10s and stuff like that, I think now it would be a time that if you bought in at the very early season and wanted to make a quick flip, you could. But you could also hold, because I think Joe Burrow is going to be a guy that potentially fights for another playoff run here with Joe Burrow. Third guy that I think could not be a better sell right now, CJ Stroud. Oh my gosh, what a day he had yesterday. He just exploded all over the football field, set an NFL record for a yards for a rookie. I don't know what was happening with the defense that was playing him, but they were softer than a plush pillow. It was freaking horrible. And you've got Tank Dell running all over the field. He's just dropping dimes on him. CJ Stroud played an absolutely incredible football game yesterday. The Houston Texans are thrilled to have him on that team, and they look like they are a team that's ready to be going up and to the right again. And honestly, as I was watching it, it kind of reminded me of old school Deshaun, where he used to just take that Texans team and lead them to wins. I saw CJ Stroud doing some incredible things yesterday, and the guy could not be a better man as well. I don't think this is going to be the year for the Texans, which is why I'm recommending you sell him now, but I would recommend in the offseason buying back into CJ Stroud.
Fantastic breakdown there, Lefty. Yeah, I'm excited for Stroud's future. He's looked really good almost all year long, in my opinion. Even the games that necessarily statistically he doesn't look great, you can see that the checkdowns are there for him, and you can see the process. I think he's going to be a top tier quarterback in the coming year. So I love the play to buy back during the offseason dip. But yeah, get those cards listed now. And boys, if we don't have anything else for who to sell at the moment, let's go ahead and hop into the audience Q&A. Kicking off the Q&A. Let's start over here with Oh My Shoes. This is actually kind of a question for myself. Oh My Shoes says PSA specials are neat this month with the Christmas calendar approach. Gentlemen, either of you are more than welcome to answer this question. Just to broaden my knowledge as someone who's getting into doing their own submissions, what kind of specials does PSA typically offer, and is it always like holiday and seasonally based?
No. So PSA generally does a monthly special. Sometimes they'll do two or three different specials. It's been pretty much one or two specials every month, and then the beginning of the month they announce a new one. And this year it is kind of a neat spin. If you go to their website, they are doing weekly specials, so they only last 7 days, and they look like an Advent type calendar, and they're all green right now. So that, yeah, there you go. So you don't get to see what it is until they scratch it off or turn it over. And then that is the way that they're going to do it from now through the end of the year. So kind of a fun spin from PSA. I was kind of excited to see that myself. I'm not sure what type of specials they will be. I'm sure they'll be little vintage, little modern, little TCG. You know, I'm sure they'll kind of dabble a little bit in everything, but kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, thanks for the breakdown there, Chad. I knew you'd have good feedback for me. Let's head over to Lefty. Infinity Trader wants to know if Ohtani and Ellie are both buys right now. They say their cards have dropped so much. I know we've talked a little bit about Ohtani in the last couple months, but where are you sitting right now, Lefty?
Well, right now with our baseball card strategy, the way that we do it, neither one of these are considered in the actual strategy of what we've been putting forward, because they've already made the MLB and they've already had significant time up in the MLB. And we are talking about buying prospects, selling them at the call up, potentially having a cup of coffee come back on the list. But like similar to Matt Mervis, how he came up and did not do well. Now he's going to have a full offseason to be able to claim that first base spot at the Cubs system. But these two guys are crazy. And I think Ohtani is always somebody that I'm going to have in my portfolio. He is one of the only players that I will probably keep and invest in and out of that are not prospect related. My job, like what I do, is I invest in prospects. That is what I do. Like, so not that there's not another way to win. We've talked about the million ways to skin a cat already. But what I do is take a guy before he hits the major leagues, sell him when he hits the major leagues, grab all that cash, and then do it again. But so I'm not interested in buying Ellie De La Cruz right now, because I've seen my heyday with him and we've made our win there. So I'm going to go invest another place. But what I would say is a Cruz that I do like is O'Neill Cruz, because he was down all year last year, and I think people have forgotten about the crazy things that he could do. And so people haven't necessarily forgotten about Ellie De La Cruz. He just played bad. I think people have forgotten about O'Neill. Plus, I think Ohtani, you will see some cheap deals now. And I think Ohtani is a card that could go up for the long term. I don't know how many years he's going to play in the MLB. And I don't think we're close to seeing the end of the run for him. But I think Ohtani is a player and a card that will go up forever. Go ahead. Yeah, awesome. I mean, I would love to hear your thoughts on that, Chad.
Yeah, so my thoughts on this are Ohtani is always a buy.
Yeah.
even when Ohtani was reaching new heights in August, we said he could still be a buy because he's a depends on how long of a term you want to do. If you bought him in August, you probably lost your butt by now. But right now, as cheap as his cards are, we do have a marker coming up for Ohtani, and that's when he signs the richest contract in baseball history. Yeah. It's going to be the biggest contract we've ever seen. It's going to exceed everything that's – no matter – I don't care that he right now is a one-dimensional hitter only for next year. His plans are he wants to come back and try and pitch again. Now, if he ends up with a third Tommy John, he's probably done for the rest of his life, but – there have been pitchers that have had two Tommy Johns and come back and been successful. And
yeah, Eovaldi just took the Rangers to the World Series after his second Tommy John.
Right. So, I mean, so the track record is there. It's proven. Ohtani is going to be back, not next year pitching, but 2 years from now, he's still going to mash 30 to 50 home runs. And his contract's going to be a hype selling marker. So yes, Ohtani right now could be a good buy. His cards do seem to have leveled off at the bottom with the new floor. So yes, I'm into that. Ellie De La Cruz, I am not a buy on him yet. I think there could be a buy on Ellie De La Cruz. However, I'm concerned that what we saw at the end of the year is what the scouts were concerned with Ellie coming into the major league. He's a free swinger. Yes, he can put up some incredible stats on StatCast, but he's not a consistent baseball player. He did not put up consistent stats in the minor leagues. He has not put up consistent stats. He went on a hot run, which for a hot minute, you know, a couple months, the hot minute, his cards went to the moon, but then he came back to the player that the scouts thought he was going to be. And I think that that's the player he is. Could he get on a hot run next year and his cards spike again? I think he could, but I think there's a better chance that we see the average everyday Ellie with the occasional one good game here and then six bad games, and then one incredible game and then three bad games. So I'm staying away from Ellie De La Cruz cards.
Would you say O'Neill is a better investment?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I've been buying O'Neill Cruz cards since August. I haven't bought any recently, but I will probably buy some more as Christmas approaches. I bought the one, if you remember, I bought the one Bowman first auto for my son for his birthday, and I just couldn't believe how cheap that was because I got it for $300. And then after like 2 weeks after that, I saw another one and I sniped it and I got it for $240. And then I got a third one for $260.
I wonder what that card's at right now.
I don't know what the card's at right now. I haven't followed it. But yeah, O'Neill Cruz is definitely a player that I would buy coming into the season.
Raw $99.
I wouldn't touch the card raw as it doesn't have a good gem rate. I would buy that card PSA 10.
That's awesome. Awesome breakdowns there, boys. And for Ohtani, guys, to kind of piggyback on what Chad was saying, I think, I know actually it was about a week ago, we did get confirmation of a successful Tommy John surgery for Ohtani and his entire team said that he'd be back pitching in 2025. So, like Chad was saying, not next year, but the next he'll be back pitching. So I think that kind of alleviates some of the risk, just knowing that he underwent a successful surgery there.
The other thing that the other hype cycle that you could have
hype coming,
hype cycle that you could have coming in addition to him signing his contract is it is rumored that him and is it Yamamoto? want to play for the same team.
Yeah.
It's rumored that they've talked to each other. It sounds like they might both take a little bit of a discount if one team wants to spend $1 billion and sign them both. They're both willing to take a little bit of a price break if they can be on the same team. They have the same interpreter. They have the same agent. They're friends. That would be if one team could sign both of them, whoo, that could be a spike.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to earlier by saying, like, this Yamamoto could be an even better play than Shohei just because of how cheap his cards are right now. But they are friends, and they could be. I mean, we've seen close to those numbers before. Corey Seager and Marcus Semien got half a billion, and that was 3 or 4 years ago. And so I really do think, and essentially you're buying three players when you're buying Shohei and Yamamoto, because you're investing in the hitter Shohei now, you're investing in the pitcher Yamamoto now, and then you're investing in the pitcher Shohei Ohtani in 2 years or one, you know, not this season, but the next season. And so essentially he could be a $600 man or $600 million man by himself. You know, he could be a 600 plus man by himself if he was healthy, because you're essentially you are paying for an ex-war player, which is, I'm not going to get into that right now, but you're paying for a guy that is above everybody else at each position he plays. And so, I mean, you're getting two players for one.
Yeah, there's only four or five teams in the MLB that have the capital to pull something like that off. So it's a pretty small market, but they're all big market teams. So if that happens, look out.
I'm saying the Yankees lineup is so dang bad right now. Like, it is down bad. And for Yankees, I was with two Yankees fans this weekend, and I debated with them the whole weekend, like, what are they going to do? Because they're just so bad. They might have to sell Gerrit Cole. You know, like, they might have to trade Gerrit Cole, and they're not going to trade Judge, because they're going to just ride that one down until it's, you know, that's their family card that they're going to buy in 2001 and make their kids drive it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to keep him forever. But what I'm saying is they do have the capital to spend, and I do think they could get both of them. Now I think San Francisco could also do that as well. San Francisco basically has no money on their books right now, and so they totally could do that as well. And but Shohei said that he prefers the Rangers, so I don't know what that means. I don't know if Mr. Davis can now shell out even more money because of winning a World Series, but we'll see. Holy moly,
yeah,
that would be
insane. It's a marketing dream for if one of those big market teams is able to get both of them. But let's stick with baseball real quick for a second. Chad, this one's for you from Mark D. Been looking at a lot of Colt Keith Chrome firsts and has looked at 100 or so, and 80% of them are off center. He's wondering if you've seen a similar trend for Colt Keith.
Yes. And so has gemrate.com. The gem rate on that card is very similar to the Trevor Lawrence Silver Prism. A lot of them are off centered. So that's a play. It's not a play that you can't. So you maybe don't buy them and grade them. You can do a lefty play where he bought a couple of the numbered to 150s and flipped them raw. That's the beautiful thing about Bowman Autos. They sell about as well raw as they do graded. So you don't have to play in the graded realm to make money on Bowman first autos. So I have seen that, but I would maybe look to flip those raw.
Cool. Thanks. Good stuff.
Yeah, I definitely would too. Colt Keith first are actually pretty rare. I don't know exactly how Bowman does their print count, because there's no way that they do the same print count for every player. But Colt Keith's print count is not as good. Those cards they're rare. Like, even when I'm looking for them all the time to try to get more of his Chrome first and things like that, and people just don't have them. And so whether they didn't have them at the very beginning and they're sitting in dollar boxes and they didn't know this guy was going to be something, and the scarcity on that card is pretty spectacular anyway. So I could see his prices being pretty, pretty volatile when he gets called up because of the lack of pop count. And so that's why I'm so excited to be holding an out of 150, one left to be holding one after I've already doubled my money on one of them. So I think Colt Keith is not only going to be a great baseball player, but I think the way that his card profile has played out, I think this is going to be a good marker for us to play into.
Yeah, so I just quickly Googled the gem rate. The gem rate data shows that it's a 22%.
Wow.
22% gem rate on that card.
Is that across the board, or is that just Chrome First?
That is Chrome First. His refractor is 18%. His blue is 26%. His green is 28%. And his red is 0%, so there must not be any red 10s yet. Purple is actually the highest. Purple's 34%. Wow. But nobody likes purple, so I don't know why.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's also an interesting thing about Bowman is like the 250 actually sells for around the same price as a 499. Like it's not very much of a jump. So if you're gonna pay extra money to jump into a higher numbered parallel of Bowman, I would jump further than the 250. Jump into the 150. The blue sells really well.
Yeah, Mark, looks like you're definitely not alone in what you're seeing there. Hopefully, Chad and Lefty's breakdown gives you a little bit of insight on the plays still there to be made for Colt Keith. Lefty, I'm going to stick with you for a sec, but we're going to transition over to football. Shane Graham wants to know if Jordan Love's at an opportunistic price at the moment. They got a rookie Prism Orange out of 249, PSA 10, over the weekend for just $114. This is a card that was selling for almost $450 back in August. What are you thinking on Jordan Love? And Chad, we'll get to you in a second on your opinions on him as well.
Shane, I'm going to go ahead and say I'm sorry for this take because I see that you're a Packers fan. Jordan Love is not the future of the Green Bay Packers. I think that they knew that going in, which is why the Aaron Rodgers cycle happened, which is why they signed him and they released him and then they moved on. But then they were like, oh, crap. You know, I think Jordan Love was a very similar scenario that the 49ers got themselves in, where they had a young quarterback that they wanted to move into, and then they got that guy into camp, and then they saw that their veteran quarterback was actually the better option because that guy didn't have the skills that they thought he would. You know, so we saw Trey Lance. I'm not saying Trey Lance and Jordan Love are the same player, but I'm saying they're similar profiles in the way that their teams thought they were going to be the guy, and then they kind of backpedaled back into the veteran with Jimmy Garoppolo and Aaron Rodgers. And I think that Jordan Love had a couple of good games, which got people excited. But, man, I don't think he's the future. I think that the Packers are going to move on from him. I actually wouldn't even have bought that card at $150 or whatever, $114 and what you got it for. But I'm trying not to just absolutely murder you right now, but it's not looking good for Jordan Love, in my opinion.
Chad, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm a Packers fan, live in Wisconsin. To say Jordan Love has been disappointing is an understatement. He is, or to take a quote, he is who I thought he was. He is a serviceable quarterback. It's hard to say what his future holds because he's backing up two first ballot Hall of Famers in Favre and Rodgers. We've been spoiled beyond anything like any other franchise has seen. The other thing is you have to remember is the Packers have the youngest wide receiver core in the NFL. They don't have anybody that's a third year receiver on the team. Everybody's first or second year, a lot of rookies. My issue with Jordan Love watching him play is he's last in the NFL among quarterbacks for completion percentage on the deep balls, anything over 10 yards down the field. He is awful. We had so many opportunities yesterday for home run touchdowns. We won the game, but underthrown ball after underthrown ball. I have to agree with Lefty. I do not think that Jordan Love is the future of the Green Bay Packers. I think he will have a very good career as a backup somewhere, and he may have some highlights where he has a few good games. I do not think that he is a franchise quarterback.
Good breakdown, gentlemen. Someone that I think hasn't been underperforming is Sam Howell. Ron Blankenship wants to know if it's time to sell Sam Howell. He's had back-to-back weeks tossing for over 300 yards. Where are you sitting on Sam Howell? Chad, then we'll get over to you, Lefty.
Well, let me take a look and see where his cards are at here. I haven't invested in Sam Howell. I'm not a huge Washington fan. I thought he was a risky pick coming into the year. So his PSA 10s are, the last 30 days, he's down 5%. He had a spike back in the end of October where he jumped up quite a bit. But now since that October 26 game, his last two sales are down quite a bit. So if you can make money from where you're sitting and what you bought and where you could sell them for, I say sell. But he's not a for sure sell now type guy because his cards are down in the last 30 days.
Yeah, I think Sam, well, Ron, thanks for the question, man. It's good to see you back. I think Sam is a guy that Washington's going to hold on to for a little bit. I think they have kind of, they're seeing what they like. They like what they're seeing in this guy. And they've had quarterbacks previously that they held on to for a little bit longer than they probably should have, which means that I think that Howell is going to continue to get run here. And I think he looks pretty good. I mean, he's a guy that looks like he can do what he's been asked to do. He's just not a flashy name, nor is he going to make super flashy plays. And he's on a team that doesn't market very well. And he's on a team that has so many other legal and owner issues, like that with their new branding and all that kind of stuff. It could be a guy that sees a bump going forward when their narrative starts turning around a little bit. So I would sell him if you are can make clear wins. You know, like if you bought it at, you know, $100 and you can make 150 right now, then yeah, I would. But I don't think it's a guy that is done seeing projectable markers. But I mean, they're probably going to end up getting third, maybe into that wild card spot. The Giants are terrible, and they just saw Jones probably tear his ACL yesterday. So, yeah, I think they're going to be just planted in that third spot in the division, which is going to be hard for them to get into the playoffs. So,
yeah, I think to answer your question too, it depends on where you got in on him at, right? Like Chad was mentioning, if you were able to get on him at the point where even at his slightly discounted recent valuation, you're still up, I think it might be a good sell opportunity just because I don't know how much any of us believe in the long-term future of Sam Howell. Mm-hmm. Someone we do believe in, however, is Patrick Mahomes. I can tell you that. And Janelle Hsu wants to know, for people that maybe his top-tier rookie cards are out of the budget, are there good profit plays on second-year cards for higher-priced players like Mahomes? Is that a good possible play? Chad, what do you think here?
Absolutely. Iconic players like Mahomes, it doesn't matter what year the card is. If you went and you ripped last year, you ripped a 2022 Prism Silver Refractor Patrick Mahomes out of a blaster box, you could send that in. If it got a PSA 10, you make money. So Mahomes is one of those iconic players. He's transcending, much like a, you know, like a Tom Brady or a Michael Jordan. He's kind of the current GOAT of football since Brady retired. So yeah, it does not have to be a rookie card for you to make money on Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking a lot about like similar to Mike Trout. I mean, I pulled a Mike Trout Marvel or something out of Donruss and it still sold for $100. Like there's just players that people love to love, and Patrick Mahomes is one of them.
And also to answer your question, Janelle, she said excited for the new shows or deep dives coming up on Wednesday. What time will they be at? For Lefty's weekly deep dives, those will be at 9:30 in the morning Eastern time, 8:30 Central.
for Chad's, which will be bi-weekly. Chad, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe we are doing 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central.
That is correct.
PM, that's correct. And if we don't touch on any of y'all's questions here, we're going to round off the show with a question from Jamie Milkick. But if we do not touch base on any of your questions, please do leave comments. We will do our best to get back to you guys on them and provide valuable feedback there. But Jamie wants to know how we're feeling about the Hawks' Jalen Johnson, former Blue Devil. He's got two NBA top 10 plays already, early most improved player conversations. Is right now a good time to start grading his cards, or should we be waiting to see how the rest of the season plays out for him a little bit? Chad, what are you thinking on Jalen Johnson?
First of all, there are hardly any Jalen Johnson cards graded at PSA. When you look at the PSA pop report, you know, he's got, I don't know, 50 different, you know, with all the parallels and all the different sets that came out, there are a ton of Jalen Johnson rookie cards. And the total at PSA, when you look at all of the different rookie cards, it's less than 200 cards graded for Jalen Johnson right now. So, yes, if you are a believer in Jalen Johnson's abilities in the future, grabbing his cards and grading them right now would be a great play. If you think that it is something that's going to be a flash in the pan, go to SGC and get the quick turnarounds. If you believe in him long term, go to PSA, because the season will not expire until May. So you got plenty of run there to go to PSA and get the extra money. I like Jalen Johnson as a player. I dislike the fact that he's a Duke alum, because I can't stand Duke or any Duke players. Being a Kentucky fan, that kills me. But no, I think Jalen Johnson has a good future, and I absolutely would send his cards into, I would send them into PSA and hold long term for him.
Yeah, I think good we're topic. Seeing a. I think we're seeing positive regression, or not positive, positive progression from him. And this is his third year in the NBA. We're seeing him at clocking at around an average of 29 minutes. And last year, his second year in the NBA, he had 14. So he's getting almost, or he's getting over double what he had previously. And he doubled his minutes from the year before that. Actually, he tripled his minutes from his rookie year. So he's definitely getting some runs. John Collins moving is getting him some play time. But I think some of the important stuff here that we've got to look at is his plus minus is out of this world. Like, the guy's rocking a great plus minus, only has one negative game this season, and he's got a 19-10, 19-14, 8 other than that. Like, he's playing very, very well. Here's where my concern is, though, with him. So he's shooting 62% from the field right now, and his career average is around 50. So that'll regress, most likely. He is shooting 40% from three right now, and his career average is 27. So that'll regress. But at the same time, his play time is improving, and his free throw percentage dipped. But you're seeing he doubled his minutes, and he's doubled his rebounds, and he's doubled his assists. So that's on brand. But he's also doubled his turnovers. You could see this guy doing. What I'm saying is, I believe he's overperforming where he's at right now. But I also think he is worth investing in, because the Hawks are going to give him run here. They clearly like what they see. They clearly have given him a little bit more every season, and this is his season where they're asking him to be a full time player. So I think Johnson is a good investment. I think he too. Could get a lot of Duke fans really excited. As you know, there's a bunch of us out there that are rooting for the Dukey Blue Devils. So you know, go Connor. Me and him are excited about Cooper Flagg signing with Duke. And at the same time, I think Johnson is a good investment, and Atlanta needs something. Trae Young is not the answer there. I could see them moving him, and then it would just, they would have, I don't know. They might have to burn it down before it gets better, but yeah, this team needs some fresh life. So,
yeah, good breakdown there. My analysis, which is very short and sweet, is that I like him as a player. I don't know that he's a great investment play long term. Maybe quick flip on like bulk plays for cheap stuff, but I don't know as a long term hold that he's going to be worth anything. As much as that pains me to say from a former Dukey. Chad, I know you've got to head out real quick. I'm going to touch base on just one more play that I missed from Barry Siff. Then we can wrap things up.
but he wanted to re-ask in case it got lost. Best thoughts on Zach Edey cards. I believe Zach Edey's still
he's at Purdue.
In college right now, right? He's at Purdue. He's a 7'4" guy. So I guess Barry's asking what our predictions would be for top cards to invest in when they come out.
Well, right now the only play for Edey is his Bowman first. Stay away from the non-Bowman first. That's really the only investable card he has right now. You can get a first auto, I think, for around $25-$30. But the PSA 10s are only selling for like $75. So there's not a, you know, the nines sell for less than raw. So if you spend $25 and get it graded and you got $45 in it, you sell it for $75 after fees, you end up with $60 or $65 to make $15. Is a bit risky. That's more risk than what I want to take. If you really like him, Barry, then go ahead and buy one of his Bowman first autos and go that route.
Yeah, I think that you're getting them pretty cheap right now. I mean, these are 13.75. You know, like that's really cheap. I couldn't take a more less photogenic picture of Zach Edey for his cards. Like, good grief. But this guy is unnaturally big. I don't think he'll be very good in the NBA unless he gets a little bit faster. And he could potentially, you know, have some injury problems as well. So we've seen big guys like him not hold up in the NBA, and we will see how it goes.
Barry, I hope that answers your questions. That's going to do it for us today in terms of the Q&A. Closing thoughts, Chad, you got any closing thoughts for us?
No. Closing thoughts are, regardless, as we talked about earlier in the show, regardless of what your strategy is, whether or not you want to try my strategy, Paul's strategy, Lefty's strategy, create your own strategy. Be convicted, as what Lefty said, be convicted in the play and go all in. And we got here by trial and error.
Yeah.
So that's really what we did. So you're going to fail a few times, and that's okay. Failure is just a learning opportunity for the next time. Don't look at it as that, you know, you're going to get out of cards because you failed your last five times. You've lost money. That's how it happens. Mm-hmm. Those are the best lessons, because you learned what you did wrong and you move on. So we aren't all wins. We didn't get to the point where we are, where Paul and I and Lefty are week after week having all wins and very little losses by accident. It's because we had a lot of losses early on, and you're going to take some losses, share them with us, and we can all learn from each other's experiences.
Absolutely.
Yep. Love it, Chad. Lefty, anything from you?
No, man, I'm excited. I think we're going into a really good buying season for us. So don't make stupid purchases right now. Like, I would say stay less risky right now than you would in the rest of the year, because there are really solid plays that we can be making over the next 2 months on cards that are bona fide winners that will get a discount because of the December buying window. So clear capital, get cards that are like maybe a marginal asset that you can win on, but you have to hold for a little bit. Get rid of them. Get that bankroll ready. We're about to make big plays.
Boom. That's going to do it for Sports Card Strategy episode 107. Lefty, you should be expecting some text from me tonight as we have opening tip-off for the Duke Blue Devils.
Come on!
Dartmouth. So I'm excited. That's going to do it for us, and we shall cue the rock music and head out. Everyone have a fantastic day.